You know, most of you know I drive a truck for a living. And the other day I was down in Brooklyn, New York. And the place I delivered to was, it's on this real busy street. And the place was real busy. So they told me to, I'm going to have to wait a while. So I thought, okay, I'm going to have to wait. You know, nothing I can really do about it. So I was sitting there, and there's no place to park, so I was double parked. And the guy says, well, you got to be careful because they're giving tickets out for double parking. So I have no choice, you know. I've got something 80 feet long, and there's no parking spot. So I'm kind of sitting there, and I couldn't really, you know, I got a sleeper in there. I couldn't sleep because I had to look out for the police, and there was people going in and out of the cars where I had to move, keep backing up and going forward. So I was sitting there for quite a while. And as I was sitting there, it's kind of a diverse neighborhood. It's over in Brooklyn. And I think there was, I was watching the people go by. I think there was every ethnicity that was, could be, would walk by my truck. And I might have saw hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. So I was just looking, and just looking at these people. There was Orientals, there was Latinos, there was blacks and whites, and they're all, you could tell some of them by the way they were dressed. You know, you had the Hasidic Jews with the hats that don't look like they fit on their head. You know, they have these long wool coats on, and, you know, they have those curls going down their sideburns. Then you have other Jewish that had the kind of the yarmulke on. And then you had the Muslims. They had, you know, their outfits on. One, I saw a lady in a burqa. I never saw one before. The only thing, she had everything covered. I mean everything. The only thing that wasn't covered was just below her eyes. And I thought, well, you know, I've seen a burqa. So, but, you know, there was people, it was like 80 degrees. It was Thursday. It was like 80 degrees. People in shorts, people tank tops, people walking back and forth. It was people going outside for their breaks, dressed in, must have been something to deal with food. They were wearing hairnets. But I was kind of entertained for quite a while, just watching people go by. And I guess my point of all this is, you know, I look out in the audience here, everybody's dressed up, everybody's in their best. They're in their best clothes. You know, coming before God, respecting God. So if you turn to Peter, verse 5, 1 Peter 5, and let's start in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5. And this is the point I'm trying to come to. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. All of you be subject to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, that giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, the place I work for, I've been there, it's going on 30 years now. I've been driving for them. So it's been a long time. And when I first started with them, they've been sold. The company has been sold. But when I first started with them, they were a family-owned company. It was two brothers that owned the company. And a couple, three times a year, they used to have driver's meetings. And he talked about how the company was doing and how things are going, and you know, projected what's going to happen in the future. And then he would thank all of us for our service. And he would say that you're the only outside contact, really, that we have with this company. And he says, you're like the ambassadors to this company. And we said, they used to give us shirts with a, they used to have a logo on it. It was a red T, of course we don't have it anymore. It was a circle T anyway. And I know Dick knows it, and I know Lori has said she's seen the trucks on the road, the Taylor trucks. But we're the ambassadors, so when we go to a customer, they know where we came from. They know, and they wanted us to be like their ambassadors, be respectful, and to do a good job. Because, like I said, they're the only contact, outside contact. They have salesmen that contact them, or they contact them just to buy the meat. But for the most part, personal contact. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say here, and that my SPS is, you know, as we approach the Passover, are we trying to be clothed in humility? As we approach the Passover, are we striving to be clothed in humility? You know, if you turn to Isaiah 53:7, and I gave a sermonette on this years ago. Isaiah 53:7. It talks about Christ. 53:7. Well, let's start in 6. All we are like sheep have gone astray, and we turn every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid him on all the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, talking of Christ, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And if we turn to Acts 8, verse 32, talks about the same thing here, about being dumb before the shearer. Acts 8, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So he opened not his mouth. And what I talked about in that sermon at years ago is that the shearing process and how, you know, me personally, I have a reminder every year. I have sheep and I have lambs. And that during the shearing process, the sheep was dumb to the shearer. You know, maybe I can explain that a little more. When you take a sheep and you're getting ready to shear him, and what you do, you get it up on his hind end, his haunches. And as you shear them, once you get them on their haunches, they're like helpless. They don't. Well, once in a while you hear one blat, or you get a fat old ewe that can't breathe. She'll struggle, but for the most part, they'll just kind of say, "Hey, do what you got to do." So to me, that's a vivid example of the way Christ was. He was the example of that sheep, dumb to the shearer. You know, here's Jesus Christ who created everything in his universe and could call angels down to smite everybody there. But he had a plan, and he was dumb to the shearer, and he let these things happen. What I like to do now is I got a bunch of statements I like to read to you here. Or communicate to you here. This is called humility in action. So a lot of people misunderstood the Bible, misunderstand the Bible about God and humility. They think humility means being passive or weak. That's not God's message to us. You know, I have a list of things here that show proper the power of humility. You know, when you're clothed in humility, you can offset arguments. Example, a few years ago I was, I think in New Jersey, and I was coming down, it was like a local road, and this guy pulled out in front of me. I mean, he pulled right out in front of me, and I thought, you know, I'm used to that, people pulling out in front of me, because they don't want to get stuck behind a big truck, you know, it'll slow them up. And so I understand that to a point. But when he pulled out, his car, like, stalled out or something, and hesitated. And so I had to lock things up, and big skid, a lot of smoke, and I'm thinking, man, my whole load is shifted right up to the front. I'll have to restack everything. Well, I wasn't happy. I mean, I wasn't happy. And blew my horn, flashed my lights, you know, said a lot of choice words, which, you know, I repented of, but... And I thought, man, I felt like running this guy over, you know. So we come up to a red light, and this guy gets out of the car. And I thought, all right, he's getting out, I'm going to get out. You know, that's how it was like road rage, you know. And so I was ready to get out of the truck until I saw this guy. He looked like the Incredible Hulk. And so I thought, well, maybe I won't get out. And he looked as mean as the Incredible Hulk. And so he walked up to the truck, and I was ready for an argument, but from inside the truck. So he's come up to me, and he says, hey, man, he says, I'm really sorry. He says, I thought I can get out in front of you, and, you know, my car, it's hesitated, it's stalled out, but I'm really, really sorry. And so, oh, that's okay, you know, that's okay, you know, you're all right, but it changed the whole scenario there that he was sorry. You know, he was humble that he did something like that to me. When you're called in, this is going to be the theme of this whole thing, when you're clothed in humility. When you're clothed in humility, unjust manner, you can handle being treated in an unjust manner. You can handle being treated. I think we've all been there. Someone treats us unfairly. We become bitter. We become vengeful and want revenge. In Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let's go there. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, I've been to places where, you know, where I work, and I've been at a place where you call into the dispatcher, and he'll offer you some loads, and I'm thinking, you know, what happened to all the good loads? And sometimes they, you know, there's no good loads. You got to take this garbage loads, as I call them. So, you know, get all worked up. You know, I start stewing about it. You know, you're by yourself in the truck, and these things, you know, one thing can add to another, and you can think 1,000 different thoughts. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm ready to give it to the dispatcher. But, by the time I get back, it's kind of all blown over. But I've dispatched. Thank you, Jim. Thanks. I guess some sort of something going on, a cold or something, allergies. Excuse me. But now that I've dispatched, I sat in a dispatch seat, and I know what happens. There's just some things you can't control. And knowing, you know, being a driver and not understanding that, you know, it's a whole different ball game when you're sitting in a dispatcher's seat. So we got to think like that. You know, it's like, you know, why is this guy doing this to me? You know, but he's not really doing it to you. It's just the way things are. Next one is when we're clothed in humility. You know, we don't need to be smarter than the average bear. You know, maybe some people don't remember Yogi Bear, the cartoon. Yogi and Boo Boo. And he used to say, when he steal the lunch baskets, that he was smarter than the average bear. You know, we don't need to act like a big deal. You know, the better we know God, the less we have to prove. You know, people are always trying to get over on us. You know, trying to say and think they're smarter than the average bear, trying to get over on us. You can see right through it. You know, several guys I work with are like that. You know, they think they're smarter than the average bear and that they can get away with things, but you can see right through what's going on. My next point is clothed in humility. We can eat a humble pie. When we're humble, we can learn from criticism and not become defensive, whether we deserve it or not. And when we do fail, you don't need to be emotionally crushed. How many times in our lives we had to eat humble pie, and how many more times will we need to? And as we're clothed in humility, we can ask for forgiveness. We need to apologize for things we did wrong. In Matthew 5, let's turn there, Matthew 5, 24, 23, let's start in 23. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that they, the brother, had fought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, God doesn't want these things hanging over our head. Before we come to Him, clothed in humility, we can act and talk in the right attitude. Even in a situation where you not want, you know, you want to scream at people, we can talk politely and lovingly, no matter the situation. Even if you need to be firm or take strong action. You know, a lot of times I have to wait at these places, and you know, I get upset because I've only got a certain amount of hours that I can drive, and it's getting bad now because of these electronic logs. So things are kind of different. But, you know, you go to these warehouses, and I've learned that, you know, you go in there, and I consider that their house, you know, show them respect. I try to anyway, and try to work things out with these guys, you know, and that goes a long way. I've seen guys come in here, come in there and scream and yell and carry on, and in fact, it makes things worse. I know sometimes we get held up, and the dispatcher says, well, you call me if you get held up. I'll get you out of there. Well, my old dispatcher, he was a character. He would, if you called him, he would call down there, and I mean, raise heck. I mean, he'd be screaming at everybody. And then a receiver would come out to me and say, well, Andy, he says, I wouldn't take you off, but your dispatcher yelled at me like that. He said, now you're going to have to sit here longer. So I've learned not to call him. He didn't help things out. So you know, you got to take things and, you know, do things with respect. And I've seen guys and say, well, I'm taking this stuff back. You know, they got $250,000 of meat on a trailer, and they just drove 2,000 miles, and they're going to take the meat back. So they say, go ahead, take it back. I don't care. So then they're like, well, what am I going to do with this stuff? You know, I got 40,000 pounds of meat on this truck. So guys learn. Clothed in humility does not mean we have to be a wimp. A lot of people misunderstand humility. You know, when we humble ourselves, we should feel strong in the Lord. Uh-oh, excuse me. I knocked this little pad off there. When we humble ourselves, we should feel strong in the Lord. And we don't need to be defensive. We don't need to be a doormat. Because we know God is in charge. Another point, clothed in humility. We are more aware of a calling. We have a calling and a responsibility to ourselves and to God. You know, we can look at an example in Ephesians. Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul describes himself as the least of all saints. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Let's start in verse six. And the Gentiles should be followers, heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among you, the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, God gave Paul the ability to share effectively the gospel of Christ. When he described himself as the least of all saints, he was saying without God's help, he would never be able to do God's work. Jude, can you hand me my coffee there, please? It's under the seat there. Okay. Really dry. Excuse me. Clothed in humility does not mean we should never directly speak to situations. You know, we must examine our motives and attitudes. We all must examine how to respond to others. There are times we need to take strong action while maintaining a humble spirit. You know, I was trying to think of an example of this, and I was thinking about Ron Holloway. And I'm thinking, sometimes he has to take strong action against these kids that do things wrong. And I guess he's got a kind of a tough job because he's got to deal not only with the kids, but with the parents. And the biggest thing is knowing a balance. And as he said, is knowing the environment they were coming out of. Thank you. My next point is clothed in humility. Enjoy the strength in humility. There's more success when you know and practice what the Bible says about God and humility. If you have had a bad attitude or arrogant or pushy, won't usually help the situation. more likely to have a positive influence in the situation. If you don't achieve the results you hope for, you have the knowledge and the satisfaction that you acted in a godly manner. We don't always need to win. You know, I have some quotes about humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less, by C.S. Lewis. And humility is a solid foundation of all virtues. Confucius. And here's my favorite. This is from Yogi Berra. It ain't the heat, it's the humility. So I thought, you know, you got to think about that a little bit, you know. So that was pretty good. I have a couple of scriptures on humility. Ephesians 4:2, I think we're still in Ephesians. Let's turn a few pages over to chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, we need to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You know, if we... I'm not here, so... If you spell the word humble out, you know, if we start with an H, you know, spell it out, humble, H, humble yourselves before the Lord. He would lift you up. That's in James 4:10. The U, let's turn to Proverbs 2:6. The U, Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. M, for meekness. An attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in God, and a loving, patient, and gentle attitude towards others. Meekness is a strength under control. Meekness does not mean weakness or being a doormat so that everybody can walk all over you. The definition of meekness is someone who is humble, teachable, patient, and under suffering. The person who has meekness means that they have the absence of any feeling of being better than others. This also means they are modest and lowly in spirit. B, blameless. If you turn to Psalms 15, verse 2, Psalms 15, verse 2. Those who walk is blameless. The one who walks is blameless. Who does what is the righteousness? Who speaks the truth from their heart? Whose tongue utters no slander? Who does no wrong to a neighbor? And casts no slurs on others. El. Love. If you turn to Ephesians, or I just read that to you, Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. And finally, the E. Eternal life. We can read that in, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which we were called when you made your confessions in presence of many witnesses. That's in 1 Timothy 6:12. Therefore, as God's chosen and holy and dearly loved, we need to clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In Colossians 3:2, Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3, 12, I'm sorry, 12, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So in conclusion, brother, as we approach this holy day season, which is coming on fast. I know Mr. Dr. Lambert was talking about that last week. And I think he said 5 weeks. Now it's 4 weeks. So it's coming on fast. And I think we should take the time. I have reminders at home that remind me of Christ's suffering, the Lamb, and his shearing. And we should have reminders of ourselves. We should do some things which remind us. And I'll... Dr. Lambert said he was talking about Michael Jackson, about the song The Man in the Mirror. And I would have liked to see him do a moon dance when he was saying that. So that would have been cool. So in closing, as we approach the Passover, we need to clothe ourselves in humility and continue to prepare ourselves for the Passover.